Hey, this is Tim from Cullamunda Church of Christ, and today I hope that this podcast blesses you. If you are wanting to know anything more about our beautiful church, why don't you hop online and head to our website at cullamunda.church.
My name's Brad, I'm one of the pastors here, and it's great to be with you this morning, worshiping the Lord, and I've got a word on my heart this morning to finish this series off that we've been in. About the bestseller. Look to the screen. I'm going to start with the most powerful thing you can get this morning, and that is the Word of God. It says this in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 20. My son, pay attention to what I say. Anyone ever had their parents say that to them? Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. I want you to notice as I'm reading every time I mention a body part, all right? Sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, here's my verse this morning, the key verse. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk far from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to the paths of your feet and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Keep your foot from evil. So we're in this series and we're finishing it this week, just a short 3 weeks, about the power of this book, the power of the Bible, the bestseller. The power, it's just, again, every book has the same thing in it, whatever book it is. It has words. So we don't worship this book. It's not Father, Son, and Holy Word. It's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we believe that this is the revelation of God, and this is the life and power is in this book. The way God has brought about His Word is inspired. This is the only book you'll ever read that is God-breathed, that actually has life that is supernatural on it that can get into your life. And we believe that here so much that it is the foundation of our life. If we are going to build a healthy life, we don't want to build on sand that when the storms come, we just get blown over. But we're building on the rock of God's Word, Jesus Christ and the Gospel. It is the bestseller for a reason. So let's look at what the wisest person in the world, known as Solomon, says about God's Word in this book called Proverbs. A biblical proverb is a short saying that expresses a universal truth for practical, godly living. The term proverb comes from the Hebrew root word, which from the meaning to be like. Hence, the book of Proverbs is full of comparisons and illustrations about being wise or being a fool. Proverbs is, what I like to think of it is commonly simple, yet it's profound. I love that. It's powerfully simple, but simply powerful. In fact, a proverb a day will keep the stupidity away. You need to know that. If you read this book and you read the book of Proverbs and there's 31 chapters and if you go in once a month and read a proverb, it brings wisdom into your life. And who knows, we need wisdom. Who knows that stupidity is Brad's middle name at times. And so I need the wisdom of God, and Proverbs is that wisdom. Did you know that in Australia and probably more over the world, one of the most common leading causes of death is heart disease? Heart disease. And did you know one of the contributing factors, just one, not everything, there's other factors, but heart disease can be impacted physically by what goes into your body. And here at Cullamunda, we don't want to get spiritual heart disease. And that is why we need to be putting the right food into our body, into the body and into your life to make sure to protect and to guard our heart. This morning, I want to talk about that because God's word often will come and it will hurt you, but it can heal you. It will convict you, but it can change you. And even though it's challenging at times, God, it's the only book that will show you the problem but give you the solution. It's the book that will transform you with its truth. And I want to talk about this morning, if you don't, in naturally speaking, we want to guard our hearts. Naturally speaking, if you don't have a healthy heart, your whole body is going to be unhealthy in different ways. And so it is spiritually that Solomon, the wisest person, said, guard your heart, not just sometimes, above all else. It's the most important thing. And in Hebrew, the word heart is not a physical organ pumping blood. The heart is the inner person. Your heart in the Bible, when it talks about heart, all through it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's not with your organ heart. That's with all of who you are. It's your inner self. It's where the conscience is. It's where decisions are made. It's where choices are made. It's where your real self lives. It's not physical. It's your heart. Guard it above everything else, because everything you do, everything in your life will come from your heart. In fact, I would say your life and my life right now on the outside, what's going on in relationships, what's going on at work, what's going on at home, what's going on in my marriage, what's going on is coming from what is happening on the inside of me. I love that. It's one of the biggest lessons God taught me was that, Brad, it's more important what's going on in you and how you're responding to me than what's going on around you. Because another translation says, out of the heart springs the issues of life. The heart is, someone said it this way, the most comprehensive term for the authentic person. Basically, in short, what is the heart in the Bible? It is the real you. Take your skin and bones away. You are you. That is what it's talking about. That is your heart. That's what it's saying. Guard who you are. Guard who you really are. Guard your life in such a way, because everything you do comes from who you are. And the first thing he says in the scriptures is, I want you to pay attention to my words. He said, it's pay attention to what I say. That word pay attention there would be like if, say, the prime minister of the country was to walk in the room and get on the platform, no matter what your political persuasions are, his position demands attention. And the position of God's word is saying, pay attention. It should stop you. It should pay. In fact, I would say it this way. Attention to God's word costs you. You've got to pay something. Yeah. It costs you to pay attention to this word. It will cost you time. Pay it. It'll cost you to obey it. It'll cost you maybe friendships. It'll cost to do it. It'll cost you relationships. It'll cost you in different ways to obey it and to pay attention to it, but the rewards are eternal. Pay attention, he says, to God's word. It should be have attention in our life. Solomon here is talking as a father to a son. And I don't know about you, but I can sense in his passion and in his voice all through the book of Proverbs, his desire and his passion is from an older person who's lived a bit of life and has gone through some stuff. And he's like, man, I just want my son. I want you to listen to this wisdom, because if you can get this in the next generation, it could save you from so much heartache if you guard your heart. And he's like, he just passionate. In fact, in chapter 5, the next chapter, we're not going to go there, but I'm going to read one verse from there. In chapter 5, he illustrates an unguarded heart. An unguarded heart, and he illustrates it in a way with a man, with a picture, an illustration, a man lured by the lusts of sexual immorality, by the lusts of adultery and immorality. And this man goes down the path that looks like, basically, if I could explain it in a way, it looks like honey, and it ends up biting like a snake. And he goes down this path, and then it says this at the end, in the last part, he shall die for lack of instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. He paints a picture of a man, a person with an unguarded heart. And with this unguarded heart, when your heart is unguarded, it leads to dying for lack of instruction. The Bible says in another place, my people die for a lack of knowledge. Because you don't know it, he says. And, you know, we're not about information here, but we do need to know the word of God to bring transformation. We need to know it. This person did not give attention to God's word, and his heart was left unguarded. I want to tell you this morning, the most deadly thing in the room right now is an unguarded heart, because you are vulnerable to the enemy. It says, above all else, guard your heart. There is a priority and a responsibility for it. The Bible says in another place, a person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. Have you heard that proverb? Proverbs is awesome, isn't it? That's Proverbs 25:28. When you've got no self-control, and by the way, that's not for you to get muster up yourself, that's the fruit of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you supernatural self-control when we yield to Him. But when we don't have it, we're like a city that's got no walls. In other words, we're vulnerable to the enemy to come any way he wants. And this is what he's saying, an unguarded heart is like that. Solomon says there is a priority, he says, above all else, guard your heart. Have you noticed in life that you guard and you protect what you desire, what you love? You probably locked your house before leaving this morning. You may have even set an alarm system. You probably, before you came in the building, you probably locked your car because you protect, you guard what's important, what's a priority to you. For me, I don't lock my shearing ute. I leave the keys in it everywhere I go. Nobody steals it. But I don't have to because, anyway. We have codes that lock our phones so nobody can get in because it's a priority. We put money in a bank because we want to guard it because it's a priority. But Solomon says the most biggest priority, the most important thing that needs guarding is your heart, the real you. And then he tells us whose responsibility it is. Above all else, guard your heart. You can't blame me, you can't blame your spouse, you can't blame other people. You're responsible to guard your own heart. It is your job, and the key for guarding it is God's word. And that's what I'm going to equip us with this morning, I believe, is that God's word is the best guard for your heart. It is like a soldier that stands at the gates of your heart, and there are gateways to get into your heart. There are gateways to get into your life to bring destruction. And the best guard you need is God's word at each entrance to your heart so that it can protect what is the most priority. Why should we guard our heart? A couple of scriptures. Well, number one, it can save you a lot of heartache. Jesus put it this way, Matthew 15:19 on the screen says this, "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander." Jesus is saying it doesn't start with an action, it starts in the heart. And that's why the psalmist said, "I have hidden your word in my heart, who I really am, that I might not sin against you." And that's what he's saying. God's word is the protector of your heart going astray. God's word is the protector. See, when you guard our hearts, also I've discovered that we see God in fresh ways. The next scripture said, Jesus said, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." You see God in a different way when we guard our heart, when there's purity there, when our desire is to please Him. I'm not talking about legalism and having to do everything right, but I'm talking about a heart that's soft to God. Don't get the heart disease of stone hearts, hard hearts. You don't want to get all clogged up and the blood can't go through. You want to have a soft heart so that you can see God in a pure way. Another reason why we guard our heart is because our hearts can be abused by people. One of the biggest lessons for me in ministry and life in general has been what Jesus said on the next slide, which is John 2:24. He said, after Jesus was doing miracles and people loved him and supernatural things were happening, and he said, but Jesus did not commit himself to them, to the people around him, because he knew all men and he had no need that anyone should testify of man, for he knew what was in a man. He knew what was in mankind. And for me, he didn't give them his heart. Even the closest people around him did not have the ability to trample, to abuse his heart, because he knew what was in a man. And we need to make sure we're not giving our heart to people, giving your heart to leaders, giving your heart away that it can be trampled on. But you give your heart, there's only one safe place to give you your heart, and that is to give your heart to God, that He can entrust your heart, that He won't abuse it, but people will. But if you don't give them that access, if you go, hey, I love people, and I've got good people in my life, and yes, you know, they've got my heart in a sense, but I know what's in a person, I know what's in me, and people will let me down. So I'm not going to give them that ability to do that. In fact, when people let me down, I'm not surprised. I let people down. And so we need to guard our heart because it's only one safe place for it. The last thing is here is that we need to guard our heart because there is an attack for the heart. The enemy aims at the heart all the time. He aims at the heart of a church that is wanting to flourish. He aims at the heart of a Christian that is wanting to flourish. He aims at a heart of a family that is wanting to flourish. Why? He wants to get to your heart because just in the natural, if you can shoot and hit in the heart, you know the whole life stops. There's everything in our body, the blood that pumps through physically, it starts in the heart and it finishes in the heart. All the issues of life, are about the heart. And this is why this wisdom is so ancient yet so relevant today. This book is so relevant today. I love the Word of God. Guard your heart, because out of it flows everything in your life. 1 Peter 5:8, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy. Notice he gives him that, your great enemy. He's not calling him great in a good way, but he's saying the enemy is powerful. But he's not powerful, more powerful than God, amen. But the devil, he prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone with an unguarded heart. Looking for someone that where he can get access into their heart. If he can get into the gate of your heart, he can stop everything in your life. He can put it in destruction. And there are ways that the enemy wants to get into your heart and get into the gates. I'm going to give them to you right now. So if you're taking notes, write these down. The first way is in the next verse, and it is through the gate of your mouth, your tongue. It says, verse 24, keep your mouth free from perversity. Keep corrupt talk away from your lips. The NLT says, avoid all perverse talk. Stay away from corrupt speech. The first way that Solomon is saying, look, if you're going to get to your heart, it'll be through your words. It'll be through what you say. Jesus put it this way, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth is the release valve. The mouth speaks. So what's in your heart, I can tell, and you can tell what's in my heart often by the words that I say. Reveal my heart condition. And you see that around. When there's words of bitterness and unforgiveness, there's an unhealthy heart. When there's words of gossip and slander, when there's words of negative over other people's lives where they talk about a person instead of to a person, there's an unhealthy heart. It's not a mouth issue, it's a heart issue. And our mouths can be the gateways that the enemy gets in. You can see it. Words are powerful, and when we use them in a negative way, we either produce life or death with our tongue. The power of life and death is in the tongue, the Bible says. It's in the mouth. It's what you say. Maybe, although you're here today and you've been a victim of this. You've received words that have got into your heart that have taken root, and they're negative words of death in your life. They may have been spoken long ago, but they got through the gate and they got into your heart and they were spoken to you, and ever since you've had a wounded heart. You didn't need to have a guarded heart. You didn't realize you didn't have the ability to guard your heart with God's word. And the enemy used that vulnerability to get in. I want to give you some good news this morning. The good news is you can cancel the enemy's words with the word. You can cancel words that have spoken into your heart and have taken you on a trajectory that have not been good, that have been unhealthy, and you've lived with those words for so long. The good news of the gospel is this morning you can stand up with God's word in your hand, God's word in your mouth, and speak His word above that word. Amen. So they said you'd never make it, but you say, well, greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. Amen? So they said you're going to be a failure. They said, well, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Yeah, maybe form, but guess what? It's not going to prosper in Jesus' name. And when you speak His word, you're canceling the devil's words. And we need to sometimes get a bit of a canceling session going on in our life and say, you know what? I'm going to cancel some stuff today. The enemy meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Amen? Yeah, amen. And so we use the word. The words are powerful. James put it this way. He wrote a whole lot, James, about taming the tongue. And in chapter 3, in verse 3, he says, when we put bits into the mouths of horses to make them obey us, we can turn. This is a prophetic word for someone here today. I believe it as I was studying this. Like someone is going to get this. As I was, whoa! It said this. We can turn the whole animal. I'm not calling you an animal, so please don't hear that. But you can turn the whole animal with that little bit. It can turn your whole life into the right direction by the tongue. When they put that bridle on the horse, they don't need to belt the backside. They just need to get the tongue right. And if you can shift your words, you'll shift your life in Jesus' name. Turn in that direction into God's word, it'll turn. And then he says this, or take ships as an example. Although they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants to go. You are the pilot of your life, and you have a rudder. It's called your tongue. Likewise, the tongue is a small part of the body, but it makes great boats. I want to give you some encouragement this morning. You can turn the ship of your life. Oh, I said that right. I was worried about that when I wrote it down. I thought this could go, don't talk too fast, Brad. You can turn the ship of your life and you can turn that too into another direction and turn the whole thing around just by shifting the tongue, the rudder, by how you speak and cancelling the negative words of God. Don't let the enemy get to your heart through other people's words, nor your own words. Amen. The second thing, oh, I love this one, Psalm 141. Here's the guard. Here it says, verse 3, set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Put a guard at my mouth, Lord. Then he goes on, well, it's the same theory here, is the next gate, the same part of that verse, is the next gate is to guard your ears, to guard our ears. He talks about words, but where do words go? Well, words come into our ears. What we hear has the potential to get into our heart. In a day and age where everyone's walking around with little white things in their ears, these little white things in their ears, aren't they all? And they've got, but never in any other time in history, I believe, the enemy has never had more access to a person's ears than today. And he's got so much access. And I want to say this, if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, that's what we believed last week. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Then fear and doubt come by hearing and hearing the word of the enemy. So when the enemy gets access to your ears, he gets access to your heart. And what you hear actually does matter in our life. What we listen to impacts us. There are some things we should not let into the ear gate. There's some music that we shouldn't listen to. There's some things we shouldn't let in. There's some voices, maybe real people's voices, that we should not let into the ear gate. I remember when we were going through our hospital journey and there were certain families in the hospital that I would see them in the hallway. And I would go, you know what? I'm going to go the other hallway. Because they spoke so negatively, they spoke death, they didn't speak life, and I didn't want to surrender my ears to their rubbish. So I'd be like, I'm not going to go near them. I'm not going to be a victim of their words of death. And that's not me running away and not being unloving. I still love them, I just don't want to hear them. Because they're so negative, and there are some voices that should not get into your ears continually. Yes, we should love people, not run away from everyone. That was a different situation. But the Bible says this, guard your ears, take every thought captive, it says, and make it obedient to Christ in 2 Corinthians 10:5. Take every thought captive. I love that because God's word assures me I don't have to think everything I think. You don't have to let every thought get a rental in your head. We actually have the power to choose our thoughts. And to me, that was liberating. When I went through a hard time and I read Joyce Meyer's book called Power Thoughts, and she explained and walked me through the 12 power thoughts that she had, and it was like, I have the ability, when a thought comes, I can let it go through to the keeper. I don't have to stay on that thought. I have the mind of Christ as a Christian. Man, you have supernatural weapons where your thought life is so powerful. What you imagine and what you think about consistently is shaping the direction of your life. What you hear shapes your life. And that's why hearing God's word is the guard for your ears. You know how you're guarding your heart this morning? By being here, by being in church, by listening to the word of God, by worshiping God. You're guarding your heart to go, you know what, I want to hear what God's word says. And you can choose your thoughts. It says this in Philippians 4:8. Here's the key. You notice with each point I'm giving you a core guard. This is the one. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about, meditate on, dwell on such things. That's the filter that he says to use. Paul says, that's what, if it fits into those categories, think about them things. Can you grab my water? Grab that water. And if it fits in, and that's the thing is that, thank you, is that, sorry, I'm just going to take a little drink break. Drinks. You know in cricket when they do drinks? Bring out the drinks. We should do that. We should have a trolley that comes up. I stand here. Have a drink. No, we won't. And he says, that's what I want you to think about, these things. Don't take your thought life seriously and it will guard your heart. Amen? I hope you're ready because we're about to go a little bit deeper. Verse 25, he says this, the next part, guard your, let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Guard your eyes and it guards your heart. The way the devil will get to our hearts is through what we see. Vision always determines direction. what we look at is actually important. I don't think it has ever been harder in this generation to guard the gateway of our eyes. Just go to the beach in summer. It's okay. We can be real this morning. What is the new these bathers even? Are they even there? Like, it's like, do they? I mean, I hope you're not paying a lot of money for those ladies' bathers, because they really, there's not much material left. Amen. Anyway, it has never been harder to guard our eyes in a world of screens, living on screens. Don't you think living on screens has got so many wonderful things? Wonderful, there's so much technology. In fact, you've got to look up The Shearing Pasta. I've just released some of you have seen it, The Shearing Pasta. And so I've just released on Instagram, and it's going to be on YouTube and on Facebook, The Shearing Pasta, because there's not many of them, I've discovered. And so I love that, because I'm going to use that as an evangelistic tool to get messages out there. Guess what it's called? It's called this, The Shearing Pasta. It's called Shearing Clips and Spiritual Tips. How good is that? Shearing Clips and Spiritual Tips. And so I'm just starting to release, like, I did a first video last night. Thank you, Blaze and Sky, for helping me with that. Anyway. So follow me. Come and follow. Go on a journey with me, and share it with your friends and get people on board. And so that's going to be great. And that's the thing. Screens are awesome. They're so wonderful for the kingdom of God. But guess what? The wheat and the tares are coming up together. There's so much evil on the screens. Never has it been harder to avoid the pornography of this world that's gripping a generation, that grips people. Never has it been harder not to get your eyes on things, because guess what? This pornographic world and the algorithm world is set up and strategically designed to take Christians down. It's not the world, it's the devil. It's satanic, and it wants to take us down by getting addicted to screens, and it's never been harder to watch what comes through the eye gate of our life. And you might be like, oh, it's okay, I can do it, Brad, I'm strong. I can handle it. I can watch a bit of this and a bit of that. Really? I don't know about you, but I'm not. People that say you don't have a porn issue, I'm like, well, really? I've got one up here in my head, because I've got history. I've got things that have happened in my life. I don't need to look at a screen to think about something. And Jesus said, I'm being real, bit too real this morning. it's true. I can go back into my mind to memories, and I can lust over things like that. But it's not just sexual stuff. There's other things we shouldn't let into our eyes as well. There's other things that can come that we continually look at, that Netflix show that we worship, we bow down and watch another session and another session and another session, and we avoid the Word of God, but we pay more attention to other things in our eyes. And so it's never been harder. So what am I saying to you is this? I'm saying, hey, we all need God's Word to guard our eyes in this generation. It is only His Word. What about David? David lived in a time where he didn't even have an iPhone, and he still looked at Bathsheba, and then he scrolled a bit more, and he kept on, he went to the next website of Bathsheba, and he went to the next one, and eventually he's committed adultery, and he's gone. Even David did it. And I find great comfort in that David was a man after God's own heart. But he stuffed up, and we all stuff up. It's not about the stuff up. Jesus put it this way. He said this, the eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. And then he said this in Matthew 18:9. I love this. If your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out and cast it from you. It is better to enter into life with one eye rather than having two eyes to be cast into hell fire. Jesus doesn't mess around here. Jesus basically says, I want you to get aggressive when it comes to guarding your eyes. I want you to be aggressive with what you look at. Well, do whatever it takes. Now, if I get to church next week, and if you come in and you're like, Brad preached a good word last week, and you're wearing a patch over your eye, I'm going to be concerned. He's not talking literally, cut, take your eye out. And then there goes on to say, if your arm causes you to sin, your hand, cut it off. If you walk into church next week and you're like this, and you've got all these missing body parts, I've failed as your pastor to interpret the Bible correctly. So don't do that. But what it's saying is, if something is getting in your eye gate and it's causing you to sin, it's taking you away from the path of God, get aggressive, cut it out of your life. And that often means not just the Word of God, but get help, get accountability. James put it this way, if you confess your sins to one another, there's healing in that space. When you just be transparent and bring it into the light, there's healing in that space. Sometimes we need a person, a safe person, to say, hey, help me with this. Help me with this area that's causing sin in my life. I remember interviewing a guy at a men's event years ago, and he talked about his, publicly, that's why I can share it, it was a big men's event, and I interviewed him and he talked about how the pornography addiction that he had didn't just stop there, but led to ruining his marriage and engaging in adultery. And he told me the biggest thing that really hit me, though, was not what he did that was wrong, but he just said to me, "Brad, you've never heard the cry like I heard my wife cry the day I told her." He said it sits with him, and it just hit me in the heart of when he finally got through and he finally came clean, honestly, with his sin. It just hit him and it weighed him down, and he said, "If I could turn back the hands of time, it wouldn't start with committing adultery. It would start with my porn addiction." With what? He said it would start with guarding my eyes. Because a little bit's okay, a little bit here. And Jesus said sin is like that yeast that gets into the dough, and eventually the whole dough is infected and affected by it. And he said that, and I thought, you know what? I thought, you know, that the biggest thing is guarding our eyes is so important. And, you know, I don't judge him. I love him. I love his honesty and transparency. I don't think I'm any better than him. I don't care what your past is here, what you've done or what you've been through. God's grace forgives me for looking at another person with lust in my heart just as much as it forgives someone who's done that. So there's no judgment at Kalamunda Church of Christ, amen? We are all sinners in need of saving, and no sin is like, oh, that's a big sin and that's a little sin. Jesus made it really clear at the cross. Everyone is on the same level ground. So don't be shamed by sin. Don't be shamed. Don't let it be the taboo thing with your struggle in an area. Everyone's struggling. Struggle well and give it to God and get the Word of God to guard your heart. Listen to this, Psalm 101, verse 3. "I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me." Guess who wrote that? David! I love it! Oh, he wrote that. "I'll set nothing wicked before my eyes. I'll be pure in all my ways." He's the one that went with Bathsheba. I love it. You know why I love it? Because David is a man after God's own heart, not because he's a sinner, not because he's prideful, because he got back up when he was down. And he said, "I was down, I was in my sin, and yes, it cut me, but the Word of God cut me, but then it convicted me, and then it changed me." And he got up and he said, "I'll repent, God. I'm sorry for my sin." And God said, "That's a man after my own heart, one that doesn't stay down in their sin, but gets up. A righteous man, though he falls seven times, will get back up again." What does that mean? We never stop getting up. Oh, we fail forward, because there's no such thing as a failure until you don't get up again. Just don't quit. Just don't stop. Just don't stop in the morning getting up and saying, "Lord, I'm struggling with this." I remember I used to pray that prayer. I used to get up in the morning and go, "Lord," this isn't recent, if all those are worried. I used to pray, "Lord, today I really can't wait to finish shearing and getting smashed." And I used to pray, "I can't wait." I said, "Could you forgive me this morning for what I'm probably going to do?" I'll be honest with God, I'm struggling in an area of my life. I'm struggling when I go out with the boys. I'm struggling with things. But I say, "God, would you help me in this area?" And if I stuff up, guess what? My prayer again is in the next morning. "God, I'm stuffed up again." I probably knew I would. I'm really struggling. But you know what I didn't have? I wasn't putting the Word of God first in my life. I wasn't getting into this and making it a guard at the gate of my eyes and my heart and my ears. And if I tell you what, it would have made a difference. So here I am, not old, but like Solomon going, pay attention to his Word. Pay attention to his Word. It can save you from a whole lot of heartache, because the best life is the life with Jesus, not the life trying to dabble from the world and sin and death and then dabble here and dabble and get a bit. You know, sin sin wouldn't be, no one would do it if it wasn't pleasurable or fun. Like, no one would do it. So it's got, what they said in the Old Testament, it's got pleasures for a season, but then it bites. And when we mess around with sin in our life, and I'm not saying we need to be separatists and go and live with the monks, although sometimes that does seem a bit attractive, just being away, nobody around, no screens. I'm not saying we should come and have a burning ceremony tonight with all our phones here and give them all up and everyone bring them all in. I'm not saying that. But what I'm saying is we've got to guard our heart more than ever in this generation. And we've got to do it for ourselves. God can't do it for you. He says, "I've given you the tools. Guard your heart." And lastly, as the team come up, I'll finish on this one, is he finishes in verse 26 and 27. He says, "Give careful thought to the paths of your..." Everyone say it. feet. That's it. Feet, and be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil. Notice he says feet on the path, feet, but then he says foot. Keep your foot from evil. And I just, as I was reading, I said, oh God, I want to encourage the church this week. Just focus on your next step. Just this next step, your foot. Where are you at the moment? And what is the next step that God wants you to take today? Environments and atmospheres, all of them have an impact on your health. Did you know that? Have you ever been like sitting around a fire pit and the smoke follows you? Oh, it follows me. I hate that. I really hate that. I'll move over here and the smoke's in my face. Like, it's just, and then it's like, I move over here and it's like, oh, I'm coming around to get you again. And it's like, and it just, and what do you do when smoke gets in your face? You move your feet. You get out of the way. Why? Because it's toxic to your heart, to your health. And he's saying all environments have an impact. You can't say, oh, I go there, but it doesn't impact me. It will have an impact on your life. There are some environments we have to avoid not to be polluted by the atmosphere of the sin in that environment. Like I said, I'm not preaching run away from people. I'm preaching you need to know where your feet should go. If there's a place and those people in that place are taking you away from Jesus, you need to move your feet. You need to get out of there because you've got to guard your heart. If that place is taking you further from God, it may even be a good thing, a good place, but not a God place. A real good example of that is I got offered a job and I said yes to the job verbally in a ministry in the city years ago. And I said yes, and I was like, it's a good thing. I'm going to help run youth programs all around the state for the Salvation Army at the time, and they gave me the job. I'm like, we just want you to come into the office. And I'll never forget, I walked into the offices. And they said, this is your office. And I walked in, as soon as my feet got in that office, it was like this just conviction in my heart. And it was like in my heart, I heard the words in my heart, this is not your office. You're not meant to be here. This is not, and God was saying, it's a good thing, but it's not my thing. And I had to go out and I had to go home and ring him and say, sorry, I'm not taking the job. My feet can't go there. See, it's not just bad, sinful stuff I'm talking about. I'm talking about the best way to guard your heart is to have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel, steps that are ordered by the Lord, and wanting to go in His direction for your life. Fall in love with the good, and the bad won't even look that good. Does that make sense? When you fall in love with Jesus' plan, you want your feet to go in His direction. You want to guard your heart so that your life is centered in God. It says, give careful thought to the paths that you're going to take. Careful thought. Don't just go anywhere. Trust God, pray and ask Him. And above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. How are we going for time? 10:17. Can we take a moment, just a moment for God, the Holy Spirit to minister to us? I'm going to ask the team to start singing this song, and I want to encourage you, just as you're seated, to take a moment. I'm going to come back in a second. I'm just going to ask them to start singing this song, I Give You My Heart. And as we're singing it, as you're seated, if you're comfortable, to close your eyes. And as you've got your eyes closed, I want to ask you to ask God, where am I unguarded? Where am I unguarded in my heart? Let's just sing a bit of that chorus. Look like for you to give that area of your heart over to Him, to trust Him with that area of your heart. Stand with me as we sing this as a declaration to seal this word. Let's sing it together. I give you my heart. He's the only one that deserves it. You can trust Him with your heart this morning.
Every breath that I take, every moment I'm away.
Let Him have His way in your heart. Have your way in me. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, you've never given your heart to Jesus, normally I'd say lift up your hand, but rather this morning, if you would want to say, He doesn't have my heart, I'm not a Christian. Every week we give an opportunity to come to know Him. If that's you right now, would you just come as fast as you can down to the front here, and I want to shake your hand and pray for you. Right down, if that's you, just come down the front and we want to pray with you. I'm just going to give you that opportunity, not to embarrass you, but to say, He publicly died for me. I'm going to publicly give my life to Him. And that's okay if there's no one at all, but we give that invitation freely every week. Okay, let me pray. I want to pray for us, and I'm praying for me as well in this prayer. Father God, I pray for us, this word that hasn't been my word, but your word, Lord, and out of your written word that's been coming into our hearts this morning. We choose to guard our hearts above all else. We pray a repentance prayer right now. I just repent, Father, for areas in my life. And I pray for every person here. Maybe you want to join me in that in your heart. Lord, I repent for not guarding maybe the ear gate, maybe the mouth gate, the words that I've said, for not guarding the eye gate, the things that I've been seeing, Lord. I haven't guarded it well. Oh, my foot gate, Lord, where I've been going. I haven't guarded it, Lord. And I see that your word is the weapon to guard my heart. And this morning I say, I'm sorry, God. Thank you that you forgive me. Thank you that you're not surprised by my sin. You're not surprised. You know me, Lord. You're not surprised by our sin. And you came to die for that. And we thank you that every day we get up, we don't live in shame, condemnation or fear. We live in your grace and we live in your power. But Lord, today we want to make a decision in our hearts to guard it, to guard our heart in a world that is aiming at it, in a world that is trying to poison it. We choose to guard our heart with your word. And if you agree with me, why don't you give me a big amen? Amen.